October is Golftober at Birdies, and that means that during the entire month of October, if you book online, you can enjoy half off the standard golf rates all month long. Now is also the right time to book your holiday party or event at Birdies because dates are already filling up quickly. So make sure you book your party early, and if you book it during this month, you will still get the Golftober rates, so you'll get half off if you book it during the month of October. Also, if you're a golf instructor and you need a facility to carry on lessons throughout the fall and winter months, DM Birdies at Birdies901 on Instagram to get more information about how you can use Birdies as your instructional facility so you can keep going on with your lessons for you and your students. Also, make sure you check out membership options. For $100 a month, you can get 10 hours on the simulators as well as discounts and more. It's all at Birdies, 493 South Main Street, Suite 101, Memphis's number one spot for virtual golf. Let's get into the list. The AP Top 25. All right, Herd, here's the deal. We got our first preseason college basketball AP Top 25. I'm not going to hold you to this, but I'm just saying stock up, stock down. If you'd like to have this stock or not, let's go through the teams. You tell me what you think, because you're going to know the rosters a whole lot better than I am. Because I feel like this is now more than ever. It's like, oh, that guy's there?
Yeah.
I was like, I'll always figure this out. Sometime around Thanksgiving when you fire up the college basketball tournaments going on, you're like, oh, that's where that guy went. All right, the number one team, I believe for the fifth time in the preseason poll era, is the Kansas Jayhawks. They received 30 first place votes. I'm assuming you're going to believe in the Jayhawks.
Yeah, stock up, have multiple kids go there, and be yourself to me is the best coach in college basketball if we talk about over the decade. So stock up for me on that one.
Okay. Number two, the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Stock up. I have two kids on that currently roster that were Mickey D's, and right now Oaks is he's a dog, man. He's going at it, and they're killing the transfer thing, too. I'm stock up on that.
Okay, I wonder if you're going to believe in this team. Number three, the UConn Huskies. I will say, like, what are we doing just not putting them one? Like, I feel like all we do is just give them ammo.
I kind of feel like if it's the same list I saw earlier, I feel like the top three was really a flip of the coin.
Yeah.
You know, so stock up on that one.
All right, number four, Houston. Four first place votes. I mean, I just think at this point, like, they're always going to be the same team every single year. You know they're going to be tough. You know scoring's probably going to be difficult. But at the same time, like, you're going to look up and you'll see they have 30 wins at some point.
Yeah, I'm going to say stock up because, like you said, that's a consistent, to me, top five team. And I kind of build my program out of them with, like, tough athletic dudes and on the defensive end. And usually when you're doing that, as your offense get better, they'll be better. But they start. So I'm going to say with Kevin Sampson, I'm going to say stock up.
Number five, Iowa State.
That one tricky because he has done a really good job there, and offensively they are really good. How long would they remain a top five team? I'm going to say stock down. I think they're really good, though. I'm just not sure about top five.
I always just feel like they're poor man's Houston, where it's like the same thing. They're both very physical, but it's like they're even worse on offense.
Yeah.
That's always just how I feel whenever I'm watching Iowa State. It's like, I know this team's clearly very good, but that's, I don't know how I feel. Number six, Gonzaga. I have no idea if Gonzaga's going to be good this year or not.
Yeah, Gonzaga has been tricky these last couple years. Six, roster really good. They're older now. I'm going to still say stock down.
That feels high.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I'm not saying they're not good. You know, when you start saying you're the sixth best team, that's really high.
Seventh is Duke.
You know what? John Shire does a great job late. They are young also. They got Cooper Flagg. But I'm going to still say stock down. I think they're more – I mean, talent-wise, I would say they're top 5 to 17. But just youth and how the new transfer, I'm going to say more top – I'm going to say stock down, more top 15 to me.
Eight is Baylor.
Stock up.
Okay. I mean, I always just know when you're watching Baylor, they're going to have like five dudes that you're like, oh my God, those guys look like NBA guys. I don't know if they play like it, but they always look the part. They're the get off the bus team.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott Drew got a good balance too this year. Like, he got a couple of Mickey D's, but he still got older kids too.
Number nine, we will see them tomorrow night when they take on the Tigers at 6 p.m., the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Say stock up because of their older class, you know, upperclassmen.
10, Arizona.
They're really talented. Stock up.
So my deal with Arizona is I always think that they're good. But ever since, like, I'm not sure about Tommy Lloyd, like, in the tournament. Like, they kind of tend to freak out. I know that that team's going to win a ton of games. But now, you know, that's the other thing. They're going to be in, they're in the Big 12 now. Like, the Big 12 is going to be
crazy
insane.
Basketball.
So let's see. We've got Houston at 4, Iowa State at 5.
Kansas at 1.
Kansas. Kansas 1. So you have 1, 4, 5, 8, 10. So half of the top 10 is.
That's the SEC of football.
Yes. Speaking of the SEC, Auburn at 11.
I really believe in Bruce Pearl, but I'm going to say stock down. I don't know if they top 15 yet.
I know nothing about Tennessee this year. They're at 12.
Tennessee pretty good. I would say, if you force me, no in between, I would say stock down.
Okay. This is a team, knowing nothing about the roster, just knowing everything about Texas A&M. They're 13. I'm sure they're going to be a good team. I also feel like we're going to look up halfway through the year and everyone's like, oh, they're a bubble team.
Yeah, so their coach is off the chain.
Buzz.
Buzz is a great guy. And they're like a poor man Houston, too, where, like, I got a kid on that team, too, one of the best defensive players I ever had. And they did end the year very, very good with, you know, and everybody came back. But I'm going to still say a stock down. I don't think it's one of the most 13 talented, you know, rosters, though.
14 is Purdue.
I'm going to say stock up with them because they have.
People sleeping on them a little bit?
Well.
They got good guard play.
I'm going to just say they deserve to be top 15. In the way he has coached these last few years and they didn't been in the top five, I got to respect that.
15 is Creighton.
Stock up. They're actually doing good stuff down there.
I feel like Creighton's going to do the same thing. I feel like Creighton has a brand in which they're going to play very fun games, but if I have to trust them to get a stop, I don't know if I'm going to trust them.
Offense really good. So, yeah, you're right. I'm going to say that top 15 team.
16 is Arkansas.
I'm going to say stock up on it. I think they're at least a top 20 team. I actually think I like that for Kyle, that you're not putting no top five pressure on him and letting him just kind of get through under the radar. I think that could be scary.
Also, because they beat Tennessee, Hunter Yurecich, the AD, said that he would bring back the slobbering hog for the half-court logo, which I think is one of the greatest.
Oh.
The slobbering hog as a half-court logo. That's got to be worth 5 points.
Yeah.
that logo itself. 17 is Indiana.
Stock up.
18 is Marquette.
Stock up. Shaka Smart is doing a really, really good job. Then they have the ECS kid, Cam Jones, that they has. He's one of the top combo guards, the top five combo guards in the country. So I'll stock up on them.
Shaka's old team, 19, is Texas.
They got a really, really stock up, really, really good roster.
20, this seems high to me, but maybe Wes is doing something. I don't know. 20, Cincinnati.
No. Wes actually doing his thing right now, though. He's getting – Cincinnati is in a loop with a lot of big-time kids right now. So
my fraternity little brother worked for him, so I always get the inside scoop on Cincinnati. 21 is Florida. They have the guy that's like 7'10".
You know, I still – they have been grinding. I've been hearing their name a lot, but I'm going to still say stock down. I don't know if they're a top 25 team.
22 is UCLA.
Yeah. I would say that's for Mick Cronin. I would say that's for stock up.
23 is Kentucky.
Stock up. They actually got some. They got some cool transfers.
24, Ole Miss.
I'm a ride with them. Me and you was talking about this out the air.
Like, I have no idea. Chris, I know that they got some NIL money when Beard chose to stay.
I do.
But at the same time, it's like I don't know if they have like. Do they have top half of the league money? Because that would be new.
Yeah. I say they're a top 25 team to start the year off.
And then 25, Rutgers.
They got them, too. I'm going to say stock down. They do got two of the top five probably draft picks. You know, they got the number.
Whose son do they have?
So they got Dylan Harper, which is
Ron's son.
Ron's son. But then they got Ace, which everybody's saying him and Cooper are the number one pick. They got Ace Bailey.
Okay.
So they got.
So they're going to be top heavy.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Others receiving votes: Illinois, St. John's, Xavier, Texas Tech, Wake, Mississippi State. God, I believe. Where were they? I thought I saw Mississippi State. They were somewhere. Oh, yeah, they got 6 first place votes. Memphis didn't get any. I don't know. To me, it's like the preseason basketball poll. Like, don't we do this every year where like somebody in the top 10 like finishes the year unranked?
For sure. And then with all the, you know, with basketball, unlike football, you got some of these tournaments just out the gate around Thanksgiving and stuff where top teams gonna already be bumping heads. You know, you got the Malheur, you got same time, you know, you got so much stuff, and they're playing 2-3 times a week, so you know they really can get at it. Do they have Memphis like top 40, or do they not show it like that?
They did not receive any votes, so I mean
they just don't show it.
Yeah, to your point, Gonzaga and Baylor on opening night.
Yeah,
in Spokane,
that's gonna be a good one. That's gonna be a good one.
Let's see. You're right. Then we have that tournament in Vegas where everybody's getting all the money to go.
Oh yeah. All the NIL one.
Yeah, we got the Qataris. We got some Qatari money floating around. When we're floating around with, you know, I want to say that one's around Thanksgiving. Okay, all right. I feel like that's my college basketball primer. This is an interesting one I want to talk about with you. Coach firings, or maybe lack thereof, heard, because I think this is interesting. So Pete Thamel put this on Twitter. Notable coaching carousel trend. It's October 14th, and there's been no in-season firing so far in college football. Compare this to 2022, when there were 5 power conference openings on October 2nd. The reasons are parallel to all the changes in college football. The transfer rules, immediate portal opening, NIL, and fear of a gutted roster have more athletic directors more deliberate with obvious firing decisions. Fire too early and a risk of a swath of players redshirting. There's also APR concerns with an early move. Do you think this is going to be what's kind of slowed down the coaching carousel, or do you think this is an outlier? Do you think this is a something that's going to become more normal, or do you think we're in a situation where no coach has really like made it obvious to fire him right now?
Yeah, I think it's a little both. Like, I think I don't know nobody who's doing just terrible off my head outside of, I know Florida fans are really, really frustrated, but I don't know just off the top. You know, every college base go crazy. But
yes.
I'm just saying, you know, with Lane and different people. But I do think it is smart not to do that because, like you say, with immediately – you know, the trend. First of all, you can't do it before the redshirt weeks at this point.
Correct.
You for sure can't
so you
do
know
it.
You're at least going to – you have to at least wait through your first 4 games.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's for sure not going to happen. And then if you think about, like, getting your whole team out and stuff, that – so you probably got to pick a soft spot at the right time when to fire people. So that might be where we headed at, Jeff.
Yeah, I think you're right. I also think there was – people kind of want to see how the 12-team playoff went because I think there's going to be – it's not just necessarily let's make our firing. Oftentimes it's like, all right, who's going to be available? Mm. And what if we end up firing our guy, the guy that we wanted? Well, he's now got a playoff team. He's not going to leave, or maybe he will. I don't – like I think that there's some feeling out of how is the playoff going to impact the coaching carousel.
No, you just made a great point, Jeff. That actually would happen to waiting longer with that. That makes a big difference. And then, like we was talking about Ole Miss earlier, like they could go 7-5 and it can blow up.
Yep.
Or they might get in the playoff. It's only a 2-team
sure.
loss. Maybe it's a world where if certain things happen, so you might have to wait some of these things out, like you say, due to the playoffs for other reasons, but even because of reasons like that.
Yeah. While I wouldn't bet on it, it is still entirely possible Ole Miss could win the rest of their games.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did that, they would be a playoff team. I know there's some people are saying that even then their resume wouldn't be that good. A 10-2 SEC team, in my opinion, is getting it.
Especially if you beat Georgia. Georgia is
correct.
I don't know. I'm going to be real. I know we keep talking about how great Texas is, but nobody, and they got the best roster. No one said their roster was better than Georgia and Alabama for the year start.
Well, and we haven't seen, while Texas has been dominant, we've not seen a team that offensively can really score on them. Mm-hmm. Now, Georgia's looked inconsistent, but we do know that they can score.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so what happens if they get into that type of game? They haven't had to play anyone yet that could kind of get the game into a shootout and see how it goes. But to me, like that's – I still think there's a lot of people that are making declarations about teams that are done before we see – I think there's still a lot of football left. A lot of football. All right. One more. Tua Tagovailoa. All right, so we mentioned this at the top of the show. Mike McDaniel said that he expects quarterback Tua Tagovailoa to play again this season, although he didn't have an exact date for return. From ESPN, Tagovailoa has spent the past 4 weeks on injured reserve with a concussion he suffered on September the 12th and isn't eligible to return until the Dolphins game against the Arizona Cardinals in Week 8. McDaniels did not comment or did not commit to Tua returning when he's eligible next week, but for the first time since his injury, he did offer some optimism into the quarterback playing again this season. Quote, I do expect to see him playing football in 2024, but where that is exactly, we'll let the process continue since we still have time before he can even entertain anything. We'll make sure that he's diligent this week and assess after that. This is kind of where I've always come down. Like, I just always feel like we kind of jump the gun. Like, yes, concussions are scary, and Tua has a history of concussions that are scary, but it's like, if the doctors say he's cool to play, like, why are we just all of a sudden being like, let's not have a guy play football if that's what he loves to do? Like, that's kind of what I've always just, it's like, we make these decisions just like blind. Sometimes I think we do it just to make ourselves like feel good, like look how enlightened we are. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know if the guy wants to play football. Like, what's his life without football? I don't know. Like, if every doctor in good faith clears and says, yeah, it's fine, he should be able to play football.
No, I'm with you on that. I think, Jeff, with him, like you say, you know, people want to kind of, you know, make themselves seem, you know, humanize and stuff like that and have a heart, which is true, too. But I kind of think how he is be looking sometimes.
Yes, and no, there's no question. He's had scary, and they've been, like, in – like standalone feature game spots.
Yeah, like prime games. Yeah, like the world was looking at them.
At least two were on Thursday Night Football, no other game. I believe another was either Monday night. They've been in big game spots.
Yeah. So I definitely think he should have the right to walk off the field when he wants to. And I think he should, because I remember right after it happened this time, I would go on social media and it wasn't even 5 minutes after it happened and people were saying he should retire.
Yes.
They was making, some people even made some, I think you or somebody told me that ain't true. Somebody had made like the next day or hour, like breaking news, he has retired.
And it was like one of those fake accounts, like he's retired. It's like,
and they're getting a lot of buzz. And in my head, I'm thinking, why would he make a decision that quick though? Like, ain't he still getting, so I'm with you. I think he should definitely get an opportunity to play football. Now on the flip side, Jeff, this might sound messed up, even with the docs and everything, I probably will hold him out a few weeks normal than the time.
Oh, you have to make sure it's safe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm totally with you on that. But, like, this idea that's, like, the next day he should retire, it's like, I don't know. It feels like maybe he's got a little bit of time to make that decision.
Yeah, for sure. If he's eligible week 8, just because of his history of I'm the coach, he probably wouldn't get in the week 10 or 11. I'm not going to even tell no story about that. And then to the Dolphins defense, they got to care about your health more. But I didn't see last week, but I saw the last other, and they made that quarterback made the Titans look great. So
yes,
I know they don't want to play nobody injured, but I know they ready for
they're a bummer to watch without Tua. All right, let's talk about the NFL. Let's talk about some of the games we saw this weekend. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Program is, of course, brought to you by our good friends over at Birdies, 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. It's Golftober in October. That means that if you book online, you can enjoy half off the standard golf rates. It's also, now is a good time to book your holiday event or party at Birdies, because dates are filling up quickly, so make sure you book early, because if you reserve in October, that guarantees you the Golftober rates, even if your party happens in November or December. Follow them on Instagram at Birdies901 for all the latest news and specials. for Memphis's number one spot for indoor golf. Golfatbirdies.com. Check out the membership options as well. $100 a month gets you 10 hours on the simulators. Normal standard rates are about $45 an hour. You'll also get discounts on food and merch and much, much more. It's all over at golfatbirdies.com. All right, Herd, let's get into the NFL. So, interesting weekend for you because you got to just sit back and chill and watch because your Niners win on Thursday night. Hurricanes had their bye. So, yesterday I thought was kind of an interesting day in the NFL in that maybe I was projecting, but it felt kind of low energy. Mm-hmm. And the teams that, for the most part, let's see. All right. Bears, I think actually the Jags went off as a favorite. I think the Jaguars might have quit. I don't know how much you watched early. That they looked done with Dougie. Ravens, touchdown favorite. They win by a touchdown. Packers, I think, were a five-point favorite. They win by 21. The Texans, I don't know, did they go off? They were at least a touchdown favorite. Texas, I don't know if they won. Went off. They win by 21.
Yep, they killed it.
Bucks were at least a five-point favorite, if not. Or no, sorry, that
I
was.
Thought they was an underdog. The Bucks.
No, no, the Bucks were like a 3.5-point favorite.
Oh, the Saints, they killed the Saints.
Right.
They won. I think they scored like 40, 50 points or something.
51-27.
Yeah.
This is my favorite part. The Saints scored 27. All 27 were in the second quarter.
Whoa, that was a big quarter.
So the Bucks went 17 in the first. So it was 17-0. Then I think it gets to 27-24. And then the Bucks score the remaining 27 points. They win easily. The Eagles and the Browns, in which was a close game, but maybe one of the grossest games of the day. Deshaun's so bad. It makes it unwatchable. But then you have Nick Sirianni. I don't know what the guy's doing, but he's like yelling at his own fans. He's bringing his kids into his press conference. Like he's having, honestly, like it feels like he's having like the Britney Spears meltdown. Like he's shaved his head. Like, he's yelling at everybody. Like, it's bizarre to watch.
Yeah, he's having a midseason meltdown, like you
Correct.
Said. And I think them the wrong fans to mess with. You know, if you have been watching sports, you know, Philadelphia fans are kind of rough. And they're saying that they are.
Even to their own guys.
To their guys that are good. And I don't know if you've been watching reporters and stuff from there. They're saying that they're, like, on his butt right now. Like kind of want him out of there. I don't know how serious it has getting with him. So, yeah, that's something to watch for with the Eagles, how they do, because the fans are against them right now.
Lane Johnson, their right tackle, said their offense isn't broken. It's just constipated. So that to me, like in a nutshell, explains it. All right, then we had a close game in the Colts-Titans. All right, here's the legitimate question, because your secondary team's the Titans. Do you really need to see any more Will Levis?
No, no.
And I know Mason Rudolph's not like some amazing answer, but it's almost like, I don't know, it just looks, football feels very hard when Levis is in there.
I'm going to be real, as a secondary Titans fan, and my favorite guys, and I think I told you this weeks ago, my favorite guys are like the Steve McNair and Eddie George. I don't know if I'm telling my age now, but I don't think we have had a great quarterback since Steve McNair. I mean, I liked it a couple years with Mariota and then the other guy that
Tannehill was completely fine.
Yeah. What, even Texas A&M or something?
Yeah, well, they played receiver at A&M and quarterback.
Only played like 13 games.
Yeah, it was with the Dolphins, towards ACL. He was like completely fine. You know what I mean? Like I never thought he was – I was never going to mistake him for a top 10 quarterback, but at the same time, I always thought – Titans fans could do the whole, like, be careful what you wish for. Like, I do think you could get worse quarterback play.
You could, but I think the Titans is a franchise. I don't think he was even top 15. I think the Titans is a franchise. We're much better than the Commanders, but I think we are the same in a way that we are a superstar quarterback away. We have to draft somebody and get a high pick. We have to.
I actually think they're – I think if you take quarterback out – their roster's way better than the Commanders.
You know what I'm saying? We play good.
It's just that's how awesome Jaden's been.
He's really good.
Like, Jaden has been incredible. Like, there's a legitimate argument. I get it, sample size, whatever. There's a legitimate argument he's the best quarterback in the NFC right now.
NFC or NFC East?
I'm saying in the NFC.
Okay. Okay.
Because here's the other guys that I would put up there.
Was it the Packers quarterback, maybe?
So I would put Goff up there. Okay. Goff has been near perfect the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to at least consider Jordan Love. Okay. But again, with Jordan Love, it's like we talked about when he got the contract. It's like we still have so few games, but I think he's probably up there. Stafford, Kyler has played well, but they just got absolutely smoked yesterday. Kyler's at the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Pittsburgh killed them.
No, the Packers got him. The Packers nailed
him. How has my guy from Falcons played? I know he was
Kirk has been pretty good.
He's been good.
It's been good Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Baker's played well?
Baker has played well.
But so far, how many of these guys would you rather just sit there and go, like, if I'm just sitting here going, would you rather have Jaden Daniels or this guy? How many would you say?
Oh, I know he ain't great, but I do believe in long term. I believe in Jalen Hurts still. Jalen Hurts.
Nah. I don't.
What do you think about Brock Purdy?
So, I've always been in the middle of the Brock Purdy argument because I don't think he's as bad as draft Twitter wants him to be.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't think he's the superstar that Niners Twitter wants.
The Niners
wants
fans on. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I will say this, though. The last couple of weeks, he's like, especially when there's been some guys hurt and he's had to do a lot more on his own,
mm-hmm.
he's really kind of balled out.
Mm-hmm.
Like against the Seahawks on Thursday, he was pretty damn good.
He was pretty good. Did the Vikings play over the weekend?
They did not. They were on a bye.
Okay. Because I know they're undefeated still, right?
They are still 5-0.
Okay.
The entire NFC North is 4-2 or better. So the Bears and Packers are 4-2, the Lions are at 4-1, and then the Vikings are 5-0.
Ooh.
Because I'm looking at it this way. All right. Would I trade? There's not many guys in the NFC that I'd say I for sure would take over Jaden.
Now that you put it like that, it's really nobody except, because you've done a really great job breaking it down, is nobody outside of, I mean, I like Kurt. He's a kind of older, though. He's not as athletic. Who else? Because most of them in the AFC, right?
I mean, that's the problem right now. It's like almost every big-time quarterback's over in the AFC. Okay, so, like, for sure, like.
And Dak's not doing good either right now, so.
Ooh, gross.
Yeah, so that's tough.
I mean, okay, so let's see. I take him over Hurts. I take him over Dak. I take him over DJ.
DJ.
Daniel Jones.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going through the divisions. The one where I believe in Goff. I think Goff's really good. But if we're also saying you get the rest of Goff's career versus the rest of Daniel's career, would I trade it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The one concern I do have with Jaden is very slender. And it's like, is it just going to be one big shot that changed everything? But just in terms of the way he throws the ball, the way he can beat you with his legs, there's also something to be said when he has the ball and you're on the other side, he just scares you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, we're not getting off the field. Like, he's going to hurt us. There's just not many guys like that in the NFC right now.
No, now that you put it like that, they are down. What do you think about? Now, I know he got killed yesterday. I do like Arizona quarterback. At times.
The problem with Kyler is when you watch Kyler play well, you're convinced this guy can win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you watch Kyler play throughout the course of a year. But like his game against the Rams, like week two, I don't know what his final numbers ended like, but he made like 15 throws in a row where you're just like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's also the issue with Kyler of undersized, like, never really played big-time winning football. Mm-hmm. I still think I'm going Daniels.
Would you 100% take Daniels over Williams?
My problem with Caleb is I think Caleb's going to be attached. Like, part of the reason why I think Jaden's having success is we can talk about Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach, but I do think in terms of running an offense,
yeah.
I think he's good. So I think he's in a better situation, and their offensive line's not nearly as bad as the Bears. I still think it's way too early to go for sure the Commanders won the draft, but I do think what is fair to say is, like, it's close.
Super. Super. Stafford?
Only from an age perspective.
Okay. Okay.
Although Stafford's played pretty damn well this year. Like, their record doesn't show it, but, like, he's been pretty good. The NFC's just don't have a lot of good quarterbacks.
They don't.
All right, now we got to talk about the Cowboys. One thing that is a little surprising to me, I know he's in the last year of his contract, so, and Jerry's in this point where he doesn't like to pay people not to work for him anymore. It was a little, like, I felt like in old school Cowboys days, that's the type of loss that would get the coach fired. Because they just, not only did they get filleted, you're playing the Lions, and the Lions are just putting their offensive lineman at wide receiver at the end of the game, just like emptying the bag of trick plays. Like, it felt like they were just clowning them even more so.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, if this was like certain like high school or college games, even so, it could have kind of been a fight because people think that's like even though it's professional, people think that's disrespectful.
Yes, you that's start, running it up, like, yeah.
Yeah, like even on fourth down, you remember they got sacked at the end. You know they
were
going. They was going to go for it.
Heck yeah.
But they back up. But I'm saying.
They scored 10 points in the fourth.
Yeah, the throwing is the disrespectful thing. But I'm going to take it a step further, Jeff. That wasn't the most disrespectful thing. I think the consistently trick plays, like, let's just go over what we went on in practice and let's just let the
line. They were trying to get an offensive lineman a touchdown so bad.
They
should have picked up the flag on the Panay Sewell trick play just because it was that cool of a play.
It was.
I just wanted to see it. Like, that, but I mean, that is also McCarthy kicking a field goal. I think it was like 34-6, and he kicked the field goal to make it 34-9. It's like, what is that doing?
Yeah.
That was a really sad field goal.
No, for sure. And they're in shambles right now. And for me, I love it. I got a lot of family, friends. You can never get rid of them Cowboy fans. So I kind of love it when they're down. Back in the day, it was a big 49er Cowboy. We was like two NFC in the 90s and all that in the early 2000s. So I like to see them down. But Jerry Jones' birthday.
Yeah.
It's just always something, Cowboy. Even if they have the best roster, I don't know what it is. And I know they make the most money. Their team is worth the most. They have the best stadium. But it's some like it's some around the program where they can't. I'm never going to believe it. Outside of Cowboy fans, nobody truly believes they're ever going to do anything super great like Super Bowl wise.
Okay, though, is that something about the Cowboys, or this would be my argument? Isn't that really a Dak statement?
Ooh. Yeah. I like Dak a lot. I don't think he's like the greatest ever either, though. But you know, I will say this, though. Before this year, I used to think it was a Dak thing. But when you break his numbers down, his numbers were like top five, top 10 good outside of free plays in the big game.
It's the same thing, though. It's the exact same thing as the wild card game against the Packers. If you looked at his final numbers, you're like, he wasn't the problem. But if you watch the game, like, he had the yips early. He throws two bad picks. And so the rest of the game, when the game's already been decided, his numbers were fine. But it's like during the big moments, he was terrible.
Yeah, now big moments hadn't been his thing. And also, Jeff, I'm not a guy who ever tells, like how we was just talking about Tua earlier in his health. I'm not a guy that tell an older person they shouldn't work. You know, people like to work at 70, 75, 80. What I would say is Jerry Jones have a lot of titles from the owner, president, GM. I have always said, and a lot of sports people the last 10 years, they feel like he should fire himself as the GM. I don't know at 82. I know he's a very smart business and football guy, but I just think it should probably be a little bit more youthful guy that, and also a guy that know that he can get fired if he don't get the job done for motivation. So I do think if they got a GM, and maybe Jerry even make himself the assistant GM, which that might be hard. You're working for your boss a little bit.
Just no chance of that. But then there's this other thing where it's like, he hasn't been bad at the draft.
No, he hasn't.
But there's something, you're right, there's just some element missing. Is it being cheap on coaching? Is it, it's why I just keep going back to it. It's like, in the end, it's like, Dak is not bad, but he's also not elite.
His numbers are elite.
Okay.
Yeah, his number is.
But like, if you here's the deal: if you get into a playoff game, how many times do you feel like you are sitting there going, "I want to bet on Dak"?
Not me, but a lot of people. I know that the Packers are. I love when we play. I mean, not the Packers, the Cowboys. I love when the 49ers have them or the Packers next, because it's like we get to beat them in the playoffs.
Correct,
because
they have Niners. Heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. So I love it. But I do think, as much as it is a Dak guy, I think you're making sense of Dak problem. I can't put my finger on it because he do make some good decisions. I'm telling you, I think it's a Jerry Jones problem too, though. I think it's somewhere that he's too involved in life. And I get it, it's your team. Like, it's your car, it's your house. You know, you get to tell me if I spend that at your house. I like to leave the lights on. Some people do. Sure. I like to, like, you're paying all the bills. But it feels like Jerry only hires up be with people he can control at
yes.
times.
Yes, no, he is surrounded by yes men.
Yeah, and he's on the field a lot. And like when Arthur Blank or somebody walk on the field, it's like they go interview because people are happy or like the craft or something. But it's like with him, it becomes a big distraction. They might
put talks to the media every game. How many other owners talk to the media? Literally, he does it every game. It's unreal. I was kind of surprised to see McCarthy still has a job today. I was like, that's the kind of loss where you're like, hey, you may not have a job tomorrow.
But he don't have any time after this year left. Right?
No, so he's in a contract.
He might just left.
I think Jerry's just doing that. I'm not going to pay somebody not to work. Yeah.
And plus, he get a bad rap too for like trying to fire. I think he like, okay, I did let him go through with it.
Yeah, but some of the things, like, he's kind of. He used to do that, but like Jason Garrett got 10 years.
But that was his boy right there. Yes. I don't think McCarthy his boy like
no, there, that. No, there's definitely no question about that. Like Garrett was a Cowboy, wanted to be a, you know.
Yeah.
And Garrett did have a habit of every time he was really in like a big time like contract year, they would be just good enough. Like it was like, all right, here's like, and then it was an extension.
Yeah. Here, then he go with y'all for a little while. Is he still with y'all?
Yeah, he was our coordinator. He was our coordinator, but he got blamed. That's the thing.
Roster went this year. He would get blamed. Like, yeah.
Like, I think Dable's a good coach. We scored one offensive touchdown at home this year. Do I think that's a Dable problem? No, I think the roster stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, let's take a break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herd, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. We got to go to Tom Brady during yesterday's Lions-Cowboys broadcast, and when she saw the Lions running a pick play, this was the brilliant insights that we got from Tom Brady. I saw Peyton Manning when he threw 55 touchdowns. There were more pick plays in that offense than in the history of the NFL. So, breaking news, the only reason why Peyton broke the record was pick plays. Thank you, Tom. And by the way, God knows, the Patriots never did anything questionable against the rules.
Yeah, for sure.
Want to thank Jason Munns for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast after the program ends. For Dennis, for Herd, this is Jeffrey Sand. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.